1 Kings chapter 16. Verse 28. We're going to ultimately end up with this message this morning. We're going to end up on Mount Carmel in the contest between Elijah and the false prophets. We need to start here. You know what the Lord spoke to me? I don't know if you've been in church any time. You've heard this. You've heard the message preached concerning the contest on Mount Carmel. You know what God said? God said, this is fresh revelation from an old word. And God spoke some things to me concerning this. You know, how many knows, I still want to come down the road. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. I'm not careful. But how many know that oftentimes we think about the contest on Mount Carmel and we think of just celebration that the fire came? It goes much deeper than that. There's a reason this contest took place. And it's happening in the world today. It's happening in the church today. 1 Kings 16:28. If I mispronounce these words, just pay no attention to it. It'll be all right. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, everybody say Ahab. Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all. Everybody say above all. The scripture says he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing, a light, wow. You got to see this. It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings that were before him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit and your presence, your anointing that's in this room. Father, I pray that the word that you've spoken to my heart to deliver to your people would change and challenge us. It would challenge us to the point of change. That would light a fire in us that would cause us to repent and go after you like we never have before. We thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone in the building says, amen. Hallelujah. That means ready for change. Amen. If you're ready for change, say amen. God's doing a great work. We got to keep going. Now, there's rivals. Everybody knows what a rival is. There's great rivals we've all seen rivals in our time, and you know there's Kentucky, there's UK and U of L. It's a rival, amen. Magic and Bird. How many remembers Magic and Bird? That's when basketball was good. I'm sorry, young people, but Kobe and LeBron couldn't carry Magic and Bird's shoes. You know, I heard Magic Johnson say one time, the thing about Larry Bird, and I'm going somewhere with this, I'm not meddling, don't just stay with me. He said, the thing about Larry Bird is, he said, you stab him with a knife and stab him with a knife. I saw him say this on TV, they were playing in the playoffs. He said, you stab him with a knife, you stab him with a knife, and you stab him with a knife, and just when you think you've killed him and he's dead, then you got to pull out a gun and shoot him. Because he just keeps coming back. You know, oh, listen to me. But there's rivals. You know, you've got the Red Sox and the Yankees. But what we have here is an ancient rival, an ancient war. And this rival rears up its ugly head from time to time, and it tries to get its way into the church. So you got to help me preach this message this morning. It's going to get down where we live. So there's a war. There's a very ancient war between the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of Jezebel. In this age-old battle, I want you to hear me. I'm just going to take my time. In this age-old battle, Elijah represents the interest of heaven, the call to repentance, and the return to God. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Elijah represents the expansion of the kingdom of God. Amen? On the other hand, Jezebel represents that unique principality, if you will, whose purpose is to hinder and defeat the return of the church to God. Jezebel comes in many forms, but the main purpose of Jezebel is to take down the authority of God and what God wants to do in the church and the order that God wants to do things and just bring anything in the church that stops the move of God. Undermines the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the authority that God wants in His church. Come on, will somebody help me? Ultimately, that spirit wants to destroy the kingdom. Amen. That spirit's not just out to destroy you in your personal walk, but that spirit's out to destroy the kingdom of God. Amen? And ultimately stop souls from being saved. Amen? You know, the spirit of Jezebel don't want the drug addicts in the church. The spirit of Jezebel don't want alcoholism or alcoholics to come into the church. Prostitutes to come into church. Just have your little neat package service that's cookie cutter predictable. Get everybody in by a certain time and get everybody out for us. You can have service 7 days a week if you want, but guess what? We don't care because no one's being changed and no one's being set free by the power of God. But you show me a body of people, a group of people says, we're going to go after God and we're going to have the spirit and power of Elijah and offer that fire in the church. Then that's, listen, I've got scripture up there, but every time the spirit of Elijah shows up and the fire of Elijah, the spirit of Jezebel shows up too. Oh, can I preach? Get ready. Can I preach? All right. So in 1 Kings 18, there's a showdown. Amen? On Mount Carmel. Let me hear them say it's time to throw down. Come on, let's say that together. It's time to throw down. It's time for people to start throwing down. Jacob, it's time for people to start throwing down. You know what I'm talking about. He likes that. Okay, so there was a showdown, but the question is, what led to this showdown? You got to go back. You know, I've preached this before, folks, and I've heard other pastors preach the same message before, but you got to see what really led to this showdown. And if we back up into 1 Kings 16 in our text that we just read, the kingdom of Israel is divided. They, you know, when God brings them out, and then they start dividing because they want a king. Oh, this will preach. They weren't satisfied to let God be their king. People are looking for something to put on the throne and to make their king. Oh, help me, Jesus. The people wanted a king. They weren't satisfied with God being their king. So God gives them a king, and his name is Saul. You guys know Saul was disobedient, and Saul went against the word of God. And then David takes Saul's position. And after David takes Saul's position, and then David's son Solomon is king. And then after that, there's only three more kings, and then the nation, oh, y'all got to hear this. When you put something else besides God on the throne, and when you make something else king in your life besides God, you're headed for trouble. You're going down a bad road. Hear me, young people. God has to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Don't put anything else before God. And even in church circles, we can't put anything else before God. He has to be the central focus. If it becomes about us, if it becomes about a religion, if it comes about it, that's why I hate denominations so much. That's why I preach, you know, y'all gotta help me now. Those are man-made things. And we have man-made things in the church. We have man-made titles. God says, just come out and worship me and let me be king in your life. Guess what? I'll do great exploits. I'll do things you've never seen me do before. I'll perform miracles in your midst. How many's ready to see miracles? I'm not talking about just the dance and the shout. Thank God for the dance and the shout. I'm talking about somebody having a limb grow back. Amen. I'm talking about somebody having an eye that's opened up that hasn't seen. Amen. You know what I'm believing God? I'm believing God for blinded eyes to be open and deaf ears to be unstopped. I'm believing God to do all the pastor, you're really stepping out on a limb. You better believe I am. I'm talking about the power of God that can shake nations. I'm telling you, there's still a power, and God's looking for a people that will not deny the power of God. He don't want a form of godliness. He don't want religion. He wants something that's going to be powerful in our lives. That's just where I'm at, and that's just who I am. And if you don't see it, I met with our deacons this morning, and we meet with each group at different times, and they're on the same page with me. That's where we are. It's what we believe. When you make anything besides God king, it becomes about you. Leads to destruction. There were three more kings after Solomon. Then Israel was divided into two territories. That should tell you something. You had ten northern tribes. They made up Israel. Their capital city was Samaria. You had two southern tribes, which made up Judah. Their capital was Jerusalem. Now, does that shed some light on when Jesus met the woman at the well? Some say it's in Samaria we worship. Jesus said, God's the Spirit. You must worship Him in truth and in spirit. Don't say we're going to worship. Come on, hear me now. Don't say we're going to worship on this mountain or this mountain. It's not about what you want or what you want or He wants or He wants or down the road wants. It's about what God wants. We got to come into alignment with what God wants. This is not a message of rebuke. God spoke. You guys remember two weeks ago we were in prayer downstairs before church, and God spoke to me in my spirit right then. He said, "This is the fire of Elijah that's hit this church." And God began to speak some things, and for the last couple weeks now, God's been speaking these things in my spirit. So they divided into two different, the northern kingdom and the southern. They're divided. Now, along comes a man named Ahab. He's the eighth king of Israel after this happened. He's the eighth king to take the throne in Israel. Now what the Bible says when we read to you in the text that Ahab, he did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all the other kings combined. Did you see that? Wow, that's a statement. That's a statement. Now, there should have been 12 tribes. Oh, y'all ain't hearing this. What I preach to you about 12. 12 is order. Government order, to be specific. So they were out of order. They weren't in alignment with what God's original plan was. God wanted, can y'all help me preach this morning? God said he wanted to be their king, but they're not, give us something else. God's not good enough. And you know what? The church of today is saying, we need something else besides the word of God. We need something else besides the power of God. We need something else to make us feel good. I'm telling you what, all you need is God's word. All you need is the anointing and the power of God. That's what's going to change your life. Everything else is going to fade away anyway. Oh, I'm about to preach. Oh, come on, somebody give God praise. Ahab did more evil than any other king and all of those before him. He formed alliances. Oh, look out. Here we go. He formed alliances with pagan kings. God had said specifically see, there's a thing. There's something that led up to this contest. God had said specifically in 1 Kings 11, do not marry a wife of the Zidonites. Ahab was disobedient. And you got to understand what happens. Hear this now. Please hear this word. When you take God off the throne and you want to make other things your king, and then what happens is, all of a sudden, you become divided. Hear me. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, you got to hear this. When Israel should have been fighting other pagan nations, now they're fighting each other. Oh, man. And this is a church. You know what? This is a word for the entire church of the whole world. This ain't just... I'm telling you, this word needs to be heard throughout the nation. Amen. It's not about us battling. It's not about us battling with another church. It's not about us battling with each other. What happens is when you take God off the throne and you want your own agenda, all of a sudden you're fighting against each other. Does anybody hear me? And then all of a sudden you're wounded and you're attacked by friendly fire. Oh, I'm about to preach all over myself. Is anybody with me? So he goes down. The Zidonites, the Zidonians, if you will, were a pagan group. And he formed alliances with pagan kings. The Zidonians were a pagan group who lived in Phoenicia along the coast of Israel. So he goes down there and he marries. Y'all see that? Look at it. Look what it says. Look what it says, our text. Verse 31, it says, it came to pass, it been a light. You know what? Sometimes people take sin too lightly. Now, I'm not preaching legalism, now I'm not up here, but I'm telling you, it's time for the church not to take sin lightly. We can override our convictions to the point that it don't bother us anymore. Will somebody help me preach? Amen. You got to realize that God still wants people that's going to walk in holiness. God still wants people that's going to walk in righteousness. Amen. Amen. Turn it off. Cut it off. Take it off. Put it on. Can I preach? What I tell you a few weeks ago, if you ain't selling, take down the sign. Stop advertising. Come on, this will preach. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not trying to say have your hair to the floor and all this stuff. And you know, I heard one preacher say some of you ladies need to wear a little makeup, you know. What he says, like putting some paint on an old barn, he said. Boy, I better move on, Hannah. I'm going to get in trouble here. Come on. I'm sorry. I'm meddling. But you understand what I'm saying? God's not going to move. He's not going to pour out his spirit in the midst of junk. Amen? So Ahab goes and marries a wife named Jezebel, which is a daughter of the king of the group that God said don't take a wife from. He goes straight in there and marries the king's daughter. That should shed some light on be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship, what communion has light with darkness? Hear me, young people. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers, because if you get messed up in that mess, amen, it's going to bring. Listen, I've heard people say, I used to tell young people, Pastor Helton, and say, well, I might get them saved. I might pull them up. Listen, it's a whole lot easier to pull something down than it is to pull something up. Chances are they're going to pull you down. I've seen young people marry guys that didn't go to church. I'm preaching now, and I've seen young people marry guys that didn't. I'm not going to get to my notes this morning. I can see that right now. I've seen young people marry guys that weren't in church, that weren't walking with the Lord. Next thing you know, those girls are out of church. Amen? You know what I say? You know what I say? If they're interested in you, come here, Sarah. If they're interested in you, I tell you what you do. You tell them, you say, well, listen, here's the deal. If you're interested in me, here's my agenda. I'm going to run just as hard as I can run after God. And if I look over and you're there next to me running just as hard, you might have a chance. Amen. I'm going to go after God. And if you want a chance with me, amen, then you better be running after God too. Because if I look back and you're back there somewhere, Buster, you ain't got a chance with me. And if y'all want a godly girl, you better be running after God. That's good teaching. Hey, we want to raise up sons and daughters. I tell you what, listen, if God tarries, we're not going to be here forever. And I want to raise up some sons and daughters that don't just get together and have a church service, but I want to raise up some sons and daughters that knows about the power and the anointing and the fire that we grow up thinking about. Listen, y'all got to hear me. I brought girls home before when I was out in Egypt. Tom, I remember one time bringing this girl home to meet my folks and walked in and they were having a prayer meeting and they was all on the floor speaking in tongues. True story. There it is. It was the end of that relationship. It's all right. God gave me the one he wanted me to have. God gave me one full of the power and the anointing and the fire of God that walks right beside me. Amen? Oh, come on. Somebody help me preach. I got to go. He marries a wife. What I'm trying to tell you is watch, listen, and we can see, obviously we can see this in a physical sense from a literal standpoint, but listen, in a spiritual sense, you better watch what you link yourself up to and what you marry. And I'm not talking about now walking down there. I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint, you and your life. Watch what you bring into your life, what you're connected to. Is anybody with me? What was meant to happen here, he wanted this to be a political alliance. Y'all pray for my throat. That's good. We're good, ain't we, Chris? Y'all got to pray for my throat, my voice. I got to get this word out. Don't mix that up, man. All right. What was meant to be a political alliance ended up bringing Israel down. You know what I'm saying? We'll go down there and I'll marry that and we'll be able to get a little. Hear me. I've already spoke so much word to you this morning. Hear what I'm speaking to you. You cannot coexist with the spirit of Jezebel. I've told people before, we grew up in a strict Pentecostal church, and people, you know, women would walk in if they had makeup on or something like that. People say, well, they look like a Jezebel. Yeah, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. It goes much deeper than that. You know, the only reason to say that is because that when Jehu, the prophet, oh man, we're going somewhere this morning, aren't we? When he came to confront Jezebel, the Bible says she tired her head, the King James, and she painted her face. I mean, she put on a heavy head. She put on an ornament on her head, and she painted up her face for what was getting ready to happen. And so people, they got that all confused. But this is a spirit. And there's a battle raging. It's an old, ancient battle. And it wants to take your soul. Are you hearing me? So what was meant to be an alliance ended up taking Israel down a wrong road. Amen. So the thing is, again, don't coexist. Don't try to coexist with any pagan beliefs. Are you hearing me? It'll turn your heart away from God. He served Baal and he erected an altar. Oh, this is the king of Israel. He erected an altar unto Baal. Now all of a sudden, remember the 10 northern tribes I talked about that made up the northern kingdom of Israel? All 10 tribes, Pastor, I know you've said this, all 10 tribes set up an altar to Baal in their capital cities. Every one of them had an altar to Baal set up in their capital city. Jezebel, boy, I feel something coming now. Am I preaching the truth? You say, well, we don't see that today, but they, Pastor, I'm telling you, there's people setting up altars to a lot of stuff. It's quite disturbing to me. You know, you can set up altars to anything that's not of God, and it's an idol in your life. You may not bow down and worship an idol made of stone or gold or a Buddha or any of those other things like that, but if you've got idols in your life, and then guess what? You set up an altar, and you're worshiping that thing in your life. Every 10 cities sets up an altar. All 10 tribes set up an altar to Baal. Jezebel goes out and starts running down all the prophets. Do you realize and understand that she had taken out all the prophets? There's no prophetic word. Oh, come on, help me, man. There's no prophetic word. There's no one preaching. There's no one teaching the word of God. And she's chasing them all down. She's running after all of these prophets. The word is gave to Elijah. Elijah hides in a cave. The man of God. So don't beat yourself up two times if you're running. Pastor Helton mentioned it. We have great men in the Word that have faced great trials and went through things. He hides himself in a cave. Ernie, after some time, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to, you got to hear this now, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Elijah and says, come out of there and go see the king. Amen. Now, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to some people through the Spirit of that same Spirit that God spoke to Elijah and say, it's time for you to go face that thing. Oh, hear me now. So Elijah comes out and he goes. In fact, God even tells Elijah, there's the sound of abundance of rain. Go to the king. And so Elijah goes to Ahab. Ahab meets him out there and says, hey, you're the one that's troubling Israel. You know what? Guess what? When people allow sin to come into their lives, they're always looking for someone else to blame it on. Face the music, baby. Guess who's the one you need to blame it on? It's the one you look in the mirror at every day. Amen. It's not Justin or me or Wanda or Curtis. Amen. Come on. Is anybody with me? It's you. And you have to face what you are dealing with. But he says, you're the one that troubles Israel. And Elijah basically tells him the truth. And then here's where we go to 1 Kings 18 now. Daniel, come and help me. I got to move. 1 Kings 18. Verse 15. 1 Kings 18, verse 15. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before my sinners, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said, aren't you one that's troubled Israel? Placing blame. He said, I'm not troubled Israel. Here's where I want to get to. But thou and thy father's house, in that you have broken the commandments of the Lord, and you follow Balaam. Now for sin together me all Israel. Everybody say all Israel. Unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. Look here, you guys see this. Which eat at Jezebel's table. So what Elijah was saying was, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. And you've got 850 guys here, the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. You see that? And he says, they eat at Jezebel's table. So you got to understand, it means something to eat at Jezebel's table. And a lot of people in the world have stopped eating. Oh, glory. Have stopped eating at the table of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. And if you're communing at Jezebel's table, then you're out of fellowship and you're out of communion with God. And this says is they weren't just sitting down to have a meal, Randy. They were actually connected to Jezebel. That's where they had went to. That was their source. They were with that same spirit. Is anybody hearing me this morning? They were operating in that same spirit of idol worship that was going against what God instructed his people to do. That's why that Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord than any of the other kings, because he had taken the people away from God and he had taken them into idol worship. Is anybody with me? So he says, let's have a contest. We need some music, man. You know what we need? We need that when the bulls run out, or when UK runs out, or amen. We don't need no funeral music. Amen. You know, it used to be a song, you know, back, why should the devil have all the good music? Amen. Come on now. That'll preach, won't it? Somebody, when you come to church, you can't have good music anymore. I ain't gonna go there. All right, let me go. My wife's giving me mean looks. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Here's the deal, guys. They were not eating the bread of life, but they were eating the bread of deceit. Because they were being deceived. And it's so easy for us to sit in the church and be deceived and not realize when the enemy... Know the source? Elijah told him plainly, you're eating at Jezebel's table. So to understand, You got to understand these two. To understand the conflict and to understand the battle on the contest of Mount Carmel, you got to understand these two adversaries as they're seen in Scripture. Amen. Each is the spiritual counterpart of the other. Amen. Can I go slow just for a second here? Elijah is bold. Jezebel is unashamed. Elijah is ruthless toward evil, or Jezebel is ruthless toward evil. Elijah is ruthless toward evil. Jezebel is vicious toward righteousness. Amen. Are you with me? Elijah speaks of the ways and the words of God. Jezebel is full of systems of witchcraft and rebellion. Elijah encourages. Jezebel criticizes. Oh, come on, help me preach. Let the Spirit of the Lord check you this morning. The war between Elijah and Jezebel continues today. Amen? So, but Elijah sets up this challenge, and his terms are pretty simple. He says, I'll tell you what, let's settle this thing. Why halt you between two opinions? Why do you keep limping around between two opinions? You know what? God spoke to me. He said, a lot of people in church are limping between two opinions. Well, is God God? Is this God? Is that? What is this? What is that? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? He says, why halt you between two opinions? Let's settle this thing. Amen? He says, you take a sacrifice. You take a bullock. You take a bull. I'll take one. Amen? And what we'll do is we'll prepare this thing and we'll call out to God. And the God that answers by fire. Let him be God. Amen. So he tells them to go first. He allows them to go first. And you got to understand what what set this thing up. He said, don't put no fire under it. You know why he said don't put no fire under it? Because people were bad to fuel these fires with the underground fires. Amen. Faking it. Come on now. They would feed it with some type of fuel, and then it would come up. He said, don't put no fire under it. Amen? So the prophets of Baal and prophets of Grove, they prepare their bullock. They place it on the altar. They start praying. He said, you guys go first. Y'all know the story. The Scripture says they prayed all day up until the time of the evening sacrifice. Prayed all day to the point that they cut themselves. You know what they did? Hear me now. They tried to manipulate God. God will not be manipulated. You can't force God's hand to move. That's Jezebel. When you try to manipulate God, that's Jezebel. So they cut themselves, Ernie. And the Bible says they got up on it. They leaped up on the altar. They done everything. These ritualistic things to try to get their God to answer. Elijah starts mocking them. He says, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone. Maybe he's on a journey. And actually what that meant, Justin, you know it, maybe went to the restroom. Come on, that's the truth. Study it. But the Scripture says, here's what we got to get. Look what the Scripture says. I want you to see this. I'm going to try to finish this up. They brought a sacrifice, but listen, God didn't accept it. Just like, amen. Are you with me? Look what it says in verse 26. They took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it and called upon the name of Baal from morning and eve till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. Everybody say no voice. And that's when Elijah starts mocking them. And then in verse 29, look at verse 29. It came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice. Do you understand that even the spirit of Jezebel can prophesy? That's what the word says, right? But still was nothing. There was no one to answer. Lots of action, but no voice. Amen. And verse 30, Elijah, now look what he said. He said, here's what you got to see. He said to all the people, come near me. And the Bible says he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know what that tells me? That tells me, Alan, that there was an altar of the Lord already there, but it had been torn down. He didn't build a new one. It was already there. But this spirit that they were going had taken down the altar of the Lord and built up the altars unto Baal and to idol worship. I'm going to tell you what he's saying, Pastor. I'm saying it's time to repair the altar of the Lord in your house. It's time to stop playing and start praying. Amen. Don't show up here at church and expect things to happen when you're not praying at home. Come on, somebody. When you're not praying at home. When you're not praying in your car, when you're not praying, you know, Scripture says pray without ceasing. And what did I tell you what Smith Wigglesworth said? He said, I may not ever pray for 15 minutes at a time, but he said, I hardly go 15 minutes without praying. He repaired the altar of the Lord. I got to hurry, but listen. Francis, the Scripture says, he put the wood in order. Oh, don't miss this. Next verse, keep going, guys. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes. There it is. He says, here's what it's supposed to be. You're divided. Oh, y'all ain't hearing this. He said, it ain't supposed to be 10 and 2. He didn't say, let's put 10 stones up here. Oh, can somebody help me preach? He said, the Bible says he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom God called Israel. 12 stones. Keep going. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, as the greatest would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and he cut the bullock in pieces. I love that. He put the wood in order. How many knows? Listen, you got to hear me. If you're going to start a fire and if you're going to sustain a fire, you got to have the wood in order. Because if you don't have the wood in order, the fire's not going to continue to burn. Oh, man, I could preach a sermon on that. If you don't have the wood in order, how many of you guys have been a Boy Scout? They teach you how to build a fire, right? You got to put the wood in order. If you don't, it's not going to burn. It's going to fizzle out on you if you don't have the wood in order. What are you saying, Pastor? If you're not praying and reading God's word and not doing what God has told you to do, your fire is going to go out, amen? Oh, come on, somebody. We can't let the fire go out. Is anybody with me in this place? This has to be a sustaining. In fact, you know what God showed me? Showed me a vision. Showed me a picture of lightning coming from heaven and igniting these mountains. And I could see the fire just burning. And you know what? It was burning down everything underneath, James, that didn't belong there. God wants to take it all out. God wants to get all the junk. What are you saying, Pastor? God wants to get drug addiction out of Bell County, Kentucky. I'm just going to preach it until I die. Guess what? You will not hear me say anything negative because God wants poverty out of Bell County, Kentucky. And God wants His people to prosper. In fact, God wants the world to see Bell County, Kentucky. God's going to show, is anybody with me? I'm talking about getting the wood in order so a fire can come that will sustain. Oh, it's not going to be burning on Sunday and be burnt out on Monday. I'm talking about a fire that's going to burn 7 days of the week. And I'm talking about a fire that when the end of this year comes, it's still burning. Not just a little spark. Is anybody with me? Who remembers? Jeff, you remember when we used to take those big lighters? And here's what happened. Here's what God showed me. We used to take those big lighters. And we'd hold that button down and catch that. It's that fuel, whatever it was in there. I guess it's butane or what was it? It don't matter. It's some type of fuel source. We'd catch it down in our hand, inside our hand, and we'd take that thing and strike it, go, and the fire would go. It's burnt out. There's no source. There's nothing there to keep it burning. Oh, is anybody with me? John Wesley said, I want God to set me on fire and I want the people to come and watch me burn. Yes. Amen. You know, when they went by Azusa Street, they'd see the flames coming out of that old warehouse building. When they drove by on the roads, they could literally see the flames. I'm praying that people are going to drive by this and they're going to stop and watch flames coming out of the building because people are on fire for the cause of Christ, and they're not coming in here don't come in here just for a little spark on Sunday morning, but say, I'm going to bring the fire when I come. He put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces. Y'all know the story. He placed it all, repaired the altar of the Lord. He placed it there. He says, bring me some water. Keep going, guys. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, there's a fire that the devil can't quench. He can't put water on it and put it out. Put the water on there. Did it a second time. Did it a third time. 4 big jars of water. Soaked that thing down good. He wanted to make sure, too, people didn't think there's no fire coming out from underneath it. Amen. He did it the third time. Water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. This is one of my favorite passages, is Pastor Helton in the Word. I can't wait to sit down with Elijah. He's my favorite Old Testament. I just want him to tell me the story himself. I just want to hear it firsthand. I'm sure they could add a few more things and say, well, you know, man, there was some other stuff too. Come on. Fill the trench also with water. Keep going. And it came to pass at the time of the off of the evening sacrifice, Naaman and the spirit of Jezebel's danced up there all day long. Cut themselves. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, you got it. Hey, hey, hey. Do you understand that often places in the Word he was referred to as Jacob, and often places he was referred to as Israel? This is the plan and the will and the Word of God. God changed his name to Israel. It didn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, Lord God of Isaac, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. The original plan. Amen. Is anybody with me? This is what God wanted, how God wanted it to be. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Hey, hey, hey. Come on, somebody get with me. And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Look at what happened. Keep going. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Come on, somebody get with me. Then, hallelujah, then the fire of the Lord fell. The fire didn't come up out of the ground. The fire of the Lord fell. We don't want something that comes out of the ground. We want something that comes out of heaven. We want lightning that comes out. That's what happened on Pentecost. Those cloven tongues, the fire that came out of heaven. The fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's some kind of fire. I said that's some kind of fire. Hey, hey, hey. I said, that's some kind of fire. Somebody. You know what I say, Lord? I say, we're going to prepare the wood. We're going to arrange the wood. We're going to arrange the wood. And we're going to lay that bull out. We're going to lay ourselves up on the altar. And we're going to say, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, send the fire. Send the fire. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let me burn for you, Lord. Woo! Set a fire down in my soul. I said, set a fire down in my soul. Woo! Where you at, Brian? Come on up here. Come on up, musicians. Come on, help me. You guys, come on up. Come on. Set a fire down in my soul. Set a fire down in my soul. Set a flame. We need to learn that. Do we know that song? We need to learn that song. How's it go? Am I going to try to sing it? You know what I'm talking about? Set a fire down in my soul. That you can't contain. Hey, hey, hey. We need to set something on fire. I remember when I was a boy. We were burning off the garden once. We used to raise gardens. You know what that is, don't you? We grew up with chickens and pigs and soup beans and cornbread. Come on now. We used to switch it. Mom, you know, so we were having soup beans and cornbread. Next day, she said, we're having soup beans and fried potatoes. Next day, she said, we're having fried potatoes and soup beans. Mix it up a little bit. Commodity cheese and all that good stuff. Amen. We burned a garden off one time, and it was real dry, Curtis. And the wind picked up, took that fire across the fence, burned down all the mountain. Oh, yeah, I had everybody and his brother out there trying to put it out. What are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying I want a fire tonight in Bell County, that the wind of God is going to blow on that fire. You hear me now? The wind of God is going to blow on that fire. God's going to fan the flames, amen? And that fire is going to pick up, and it's going to spread. And let me just go on record and say, this is not about our Father's house. It's about the kingdom of God. If you try to get it about our Father's house, then you don't have the wood in order. Are you with me? All right. Can I have one more minute? Now, hear me. Don't miss this point. Keep going. When all the people saw it, look what happened. They fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Don't miss the purpose. You know, I've preached this before. I've preached this plenty of times and heard other preachers preach it, but we're real good. Listen, God's sending a fire and it's going to overtake the spirit of Jezebel. But see, the whole purpose of this fire was to cause the people to turn back to God. Because they were worshiping idols. And God showed them who the real God was and where the real fire came from. And they fell on their faces and they worshiped and said, God is God. Amen. Now, Revelation 2:20. I'm going to close here. Do you realize that the spirit of Elijah has come? You know, Malachi said the spirit of Elijah was going to come. Amen. It's scriptural, folks. Revelation 2:20. Look at this. Y'all got that one? We'll close here, I promise. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because you suffer that woman Jezebel, which caused herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed unto idols. So that spirit, what he's saying, Pastor, that spirit still comes back in the church. This was the church. Yes, the church of Thyatira, 7 letters to the churches of Asia that John saw in the Isle of Patmos, and he said, you're eating at Jezebel's table. Is anybody with me? Repentance. Now what we're going to do, we're going to have an altar call, and if there's any, listen, hear me, anything that you think may be an idol in your life, today I want you to leave it at this altar. I don't care what it is. You know, I don't care if it's, come on, I'm just going to be straight. If it's a spirit of negativity, I want it left at this altar today. Oh, I'm about to get bold. We can't have no negativity. We can't have any unbelief. In fact, if we're praying for somebody, if you have any doubt or unbelief, don't come around. Don't lay hands on them. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? That's awful brass and that's awful bold. You know what Jesus did? Jesus was in a place where he was praying for someone to be healed, and he said, "You guys need to get out of here." Oh, come on now. It's time for negativity to be gone. If you need deliverance from a critical spirit, amen, you need to come to this altar and you need to leave it on this altar. If you have pride, if you have jealousy, if you have envy, if you have strife, if it's materialism, if it's the lust of the flesh and or pornography or whatever the case may be, you need to leave it at this altar today. And don't no longer eat at Jezebel's table and anything that opposes the power and anointing of God. But let's have the fire on our soul today. Come on. Come in and pray. Whatever it is, or pray at your seat, let's leave it here today. Let's leave it here today. Hallelujah.